Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road Recovery Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Leroy and I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other and they solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting for our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in support of AA singleness of purpose. We respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics and that when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio and films. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard AA can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at a public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers followed by a fourth speaker until approximately 8:30. The meeting will then be open to the floor and close at 9 o'clock. Can we please have a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic that still suffers. And our final speaker tonight is Arash.
Thank you. My name's Arash, I'm an alcoholic. And, thank you for sponsoring me, Wayne. Thank you for asking me to share Tommy G. And thank you to the Road to Recovery group. On the 1st of September, 2 days ago, I turned 20 years sober. And thank you. It's pretty unbelievable, to be honest. The things that Sheridan talked about towards the end of his share, I need to keep exercising step one. You know, I need to do things that at first I don't agree with, but it doesn't matter. You know, if my sponsor says this is what I need to do for my recovery, I'm doing it, you know, because basically by doing what is suggested, you know, I'm showing that I'm powerless over alcohol. You know, I'm not cured of alcoholism. I'm powerless over alcohol and my life is unmanageable. So the minute I say, sod that, I'm not doing it, I'm basically saying, oh, I'm not powerless over alcohol anymore. I'm all right, I can control this thing. And that is that act of defiance that will get me drunk. So I'll already start the process of the relapse before I pick up a drink, you know, if I tell the GSR to sod off, or if my sponsor says, this is what you need to do as part of your recovery, and I say no, you know, I'm basically saying, I'm not powerless anymore, but I am. I'm powerless over alcohol, and my life is unmanageable. I'll break that down for anybody who's new. I'm powerless over alcohol for two reasons. When I start drinking, I can't stop. Basically, I get a physical craving, and, there's no telling where or when it's going to end. You know, I will put the next drink above everything. I don't care what it is I have to do, how important it is for me to stay sober. It will all go out of the window. Once that fuse is lit and I start drinking, I need to keep going. And it doesn't matter if I've got money or not, you know, I'll get it. I just need to keep drinking. I get that craving when I pick up any amount of alcohol. It doesn't matter what it is. That by itself doesn't make me an alcoholic. If that's all that made me an alcoholic, I wouldn't need AA, because surely I'd know, like Bridget said, you know, I'd be telling myself, you can't drink because you keep going. You know, and then if that was all it was, then I'd just tell myself, right, oh, okay, you can't drink safely, don't do it. You know, that's the only advice I ever got for years, you know, from the most well-meaning people, professionals, doctors, all the rest of it, just don't drink. But unfortunately, that's impossible for an alcoholic of my type, because no matter how bad it got, I would always pick up the next drink. You know, it didn't matter if my head was caved in, literally. It didn't matter if I, you know, if I'd completely disgraced myself, lost like all my friends, lost my job, lost my girlfriend, lost my home, you know, woke up battered and bruised, you know, making a complete ass of myself, you know, going into a blackout drinking for days on end without knowing how the hell I got home, who I spoke to, what I did, you know. None of that will stop me from doing it again. It is impossible for me to learn by my mistakes where alcohol is concerned. I'm powerless over alcohol. I will pick it up again. It doesn't matter, you know, what, you know, happened the time before. So basically, I'm powerless over alcohol for those two reasons. You know, start drinking and I can't stop, and then I trick myself into doing it again, no matter how bad it gets. And the second part of step one, my life is unmanageable. That means that I can't function in this world by just not drinking. That was never enough for me. Again, like I say, I got, you know, a lot of love and support and advice, you know, from loved ones, you know, family, girlfriends, friends, you know, professional people. You know, and all they ever said was just don't drink. You know, it doesn't agree with you. You end up in this trouble or whatever. But, you know, I just wanted to scream at them. You just don't get it. You know, when I stop drinking, I feel worse. You know, I'm an alcoholic. I took away the pain of my daily existence by pouring alcohol, and in my case, drugs as well, on top of it, you know, and, you know, so my life is unmanageable doesn't literally mean I can't manage my life, but in my case, it definitely did, big time. I literally couldn't manage, like, you know, my life at all. But, you know, there's people who come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and to the outside world, it looks like things are pretty manageable, you know, like car, wife, kids, all the rest of it, you know, but obviously inside, you know, everything's falling apart. In my case, from the outside, it was bloody obvious, you know, life is crap. I mean, I might as well have had a neon sign on my head saying, alcoholic, you know, but yeah, but my life is unmanageable in step one means that I can't function in the world, basically, with or without alcohol. I'm not wired up properly. I is a bleeding mental, innit, basically. That's what it means, is that, you know, I can't fit in with the rest of the world. I'm not at the same level. Either I feel superior or I feel completely inferior. And that could come in the blink of an eyelid, you know, 1 minute, I'm thinking you're a complete and utter arsehole and you don't know anything and I'm much better than you, much better dressed, much more informed. And the next minute, I'm, you bastard, you've got it all, haven't you? Like, and I've got absolutely nothing. Do you know what I mean? That is alcoholism. I'm not, you know, that doesn't go away when I stop drinking. So stopping drinking for an alcoholic of my type is no cure. It's no solution for an alcoholic of my type. This is why I need Alcoholics Anonymous, basically, for those two reasons, because I need the insane thought that precedes the first drink to be wiped out, and I need to be able to live in the world comfortably so that, you know, I don't feel there's anything missing. I mean, that bit, you know, I mean, that's been drastically reduced, you know, from how I was. I mean, it, you know, I have my good days and I have my bad days, you know, but I have a program to work so that, you know, when I'm not feeling great, you know, there's things I can do. I can check in with my sponsor, I can take inventory, I can talk to a newcomer, I can do all sorts of other things, you know, But I'll kind of backtrack a little bit to how I got here. Basically, my drinking got worse as the years went on. And, at the very start, in the early years, it was pretty bad, but it was, it was a kind of gamble. You know, I'd sometimes end up doing good things, going out with friends, meeting girls or whatever, or playing in bands or DJing or going to gigs and, having a good time. But it was always a gamble, that the night could end in disaster and I could spend the next week like reeling from that and making bad decisions as the result of it or drinking more to try and get over what had just happened. And that got progressively worse the older I got. It never got better. My thinking was, okay, when I get older, things might improve, or if I get this thing, this is textbook alcoholism. If I only had this, if I only had that, and then I'd get this or that, and nothing would change, I remember thinking, if I had a pair of 1210 Technics DJ decks, I'd be fine. And I got a brand new pair of 1210s, and within about a week, I took them out to a club to use. This club, for some reason, didn't have its own decks, and I drank to blackout, and I smashed all of my decks up. There you go. And I'd get caught in this endless cycle of there's a bit in the chapter in the big book. Oh, for any newcomers, get yourself a sponsor. Buy the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous, which we call the big book, and do what your sponsor says. He'll give you daily suggestions to do. Do them, and you can stay well. You can stay sober. You can enjoy your life sober. But there's a bit in I think it's more about alcoholism. And it's a list of all, we tried all of these things, and it says, and I love the line where it says, taking a trip, not taking a trip. And I love that because in my case it was, oh, I drink so much because I do music. Oh, I'm playing in bands and I'm DJing. That's why I drink too much. And then I'd stop doing it, try to do the opposite, and I'm still drinking too much. And I'd be going, well, it's because I'm not doing music, because I'm bored. I need to do music again. I'd do the exact opposite of whatever it is, and my life would just get worse and worse. My drinking just got worse and worse. There's nothing that can fill that hole as good as alcohol. And that's until I got to Alcoholics Anonymous and, going through this 12-step program with my sponsor has filled that hole, and it's taken away the insane thinking which always precedes the first alcoholic drink. I haven't had a serious thought of a drug or an alcoholic drink in 20 years. I haven't had to, I've rung my sponsor up loads of times when, I've had sort of problems and stuff. It's not like all my defects of character have disappeared overnight and I'm living in this kind of like lovely world where I'm skipping every day and every day is better than the day before and I'm just getting higher and higher and higher and, Jamie talks about recovery being like peaking on ecstasy or whatever, standing on a podium and going, it's not like that, not for me. I have had times when I felt like, absolutely fantastic, but then there's times when I felt absolutely and utterly shit, that's the way it goes. And okay, I've been ungrateful, and when I've done my gratitude list, and when I've spoken to my sponsor, and when I've worked with a newcomer, you know, yes, it has put things in perspective, and yes, I have realised that actually I've got a bloody good life, but, you know, I can't remember where I was going with this. But anyway, yeah, the whole point, that's what I say, is that, you know, my defects of character haven't disappeared. So that my life is unmanageable bit is still, a work in progress. You know, I have to continue to put in the actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, if I want any kind of any chance of a comfortable life sober. But the other bit has been removed, the bit that tricks me into picking up an alcoholic drink. You know, I haven't had a serious thought of a drink in 20 years, and that's a bloody miracle. I really don't believe it. And, you know, I came in 2001, and, you know, I can't believe, you know, I was the runt of the litter. You know, I was the one that you would look at and think, Jesus Christ, he ain't going to last a week. You know, I was such a miserable bastard. I really was. Just angry all the time. I mean, I made Victor Meldrew look like a bloody children's TV presenter in comparison. He was literally, I don't believe it, like just the whole time, you know. But now I look back the last 20 years and I think of all the things that have happened as the result of taking these steps, and I really don't believe it, but in a good way, you know. And I used to... when I was drinking, I mean, I just thought I was cursed, you know. It's standard alcoholic stuff, like self-pity, but I had it, you know, big time. I just felt like I was cursed, you know. Everybody else knew what to do except for me. And, you know, to not feel like that anymore is just an absolute blessing. It really is. And that has come from... you know, allowing myself to be sponsored, you know, just doing things that didn't seem right to me, you know. It really makes me sigh when people say, oh, I don't like that, you know, or I don't like that group because they do this. You know, dude, it's not the process that I'm interested in, it's the bloody result. Do you know what I mean? If it was the process, I wouldn't have hung around for a week. You know, I didn't want to have a spot, you know, I didn't want to be sponsored. I didn't want to turn up week after week, do this, do that, and the other. But I wanted what you lot were talking about. So it's the result, it's the end result that I'm interested in. So, you know, it's really sad when people leave the group and it's because, oh, my sponsor told me I've got to get there early. It's like, well, if you want long-term sobriety, do it, mate. You know, it's not that much to ask. It really isn't, you know, just doing a few things that you don't agree with, do you know what I mean? When you can see loads of other people doing it and they've got years of sobriety, you've got to do it if you want to stay sober. Basically, if you've got step one, you will do it. And, you know, I haven't always been the best example of... recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, but you know, I try and do what I need to do, you know, daily suggestions, you know, taking my home group seriously, treating it with respect. You know, I don't large it here, you know, I don't walk around, you know, basically thinking I'm the man, because that, you know, that act of arrogance, it's a pile of shit. Do you know what I mean? I've seen people walk around like, you know, like shouting and screaming, giving it the large one, and like, you know, it's bollocks, mate. You know, I need to be humble. You know, I need to be sponsorable. You know, I need to have just that element of like just respect, you know, for my sponsor and my home group, and not treat this place like somewhere I come to show off, basically. I mean, I really do believe that this is the best I've ever known my home group. I was talking to my sponsor about it last week. I don't see the golden age as that, whatever it was 10, 15 years ago when we had, I don't know, 1,000 billion people here on a Friday. Do you know what I mean? Because you had a lot of people who were just, you know, just basically treating this place as a, you know, just to a come and show off and going about, like, you know, almost like a sort of a macho kind of, you know, my recovery's bigger than yours kind of crap. Do you know what I mean? And it's not about that. It's not about making a bloody noise. It really isn't. You know, it's about trying to help people. You know, I mean, the people who've inspired me through the years are the ones who are getting active in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that could be somebody who's just a few weeks sober. You know, when I see people looking out for newcomers, giving their phone numbers out, that's an inspiration for me, you know, because I need to do stuff like that. I need to work with newcomers. I need to try and help people. I need to try and sponsor people. I don't always get it right. You know, I'm really lazy. I'm very self-centered. You know, very, very selfish, you know, and I need to just snap out of it at times when I'm feeling like that. But yeah, I mean, the last 20 years, how much time have I got?
5 and a half minutes.
All right, okay. I mean, I've definitely lived my dreams. I mean, there's no other way of, if I don't think that, then basically I'm being dishonest. If someone had said to me in my early days, you're going to be going out sober and enjoying it, I would have thought, you're mental. If they had said, you're going to be making records with musicians that you're into when you're like 17, 18, I would have thought, I don't believe it, as Victor Meldrew says. But, you know, if they had said, you're going to be doing the same job for 10 years, where you're like given responsibilities, you're going to be turning up every day on time, you're going to be, you know, reliable, punctual, I'd be like, you are more mental than I am, mate. You know, there's absolutely no way, like, you know, that is ever going to happen. Because the way I was, you know, with or without alcohol, was an absolute train wreck. I was a disgrace, you know. I just couldn't be trusted or relied on in any way. If you tried to tell me about your problems, I would stop you mid-sentence and I'd say, you think you've got it bad, you know. So the thought of me being, you know, like working in mental health and trying to help and support people. I mean, it's almost a joke, you know. And once a year I have this appraisal with my manager and you'll read out, you know, you know, a load of quotes from my colleagues. And, you know, and I just can't get over, like, you know, the compliments and stuff. And I'm just thinking, I mean, all right, to be fair, they're not always complimentary. There is the occasional, he is a bit of a git, but, you know, but mostly they're really good. Well, the last one I had was really good anyway. I try and learn from, like, if I have been a git, I try and learn. I try and make amends. I try and do better next time. And I'm not like that. I'm not the sort of person who is wired up like that. Do you know what I mean? I, you know, if you criticise me, you know, that's it. It's game over, mate. You know, I'm out of here. You know, I'm walking. You know, I'm not listening to that. You know, I don't try and improve, you know, on whatever it is I'm doing. You know, and the one of the points I've wanted to make, and I'm kind of glad I've remembered it, is, you know, being sponsored in a disciplined way, in a disciplined home group, it's a double whammy of kind of goodness, because, like, the first part is, like, basically if I'm doing it in a disciplined way, if I'm working the 12 steps, you know, in the way that it's laid out in the big book without it being watered down, then basically I'm recovered. I've got a good recovery. And even if I have shit days, thank you, the last thing I want to do is drink, you know, and there's things I can do to improve. you know, on my situation. I can live sober comfortably. So it's got that. But the second thing that it's, you know, is that, you know, I can take away some of those disciplines into my life outside of Alcoholics Anonymous, like in my work or in the, like, kind of hobbies and interests, the music that I do, or in studying, you know, going to college. I went to university when I was about a year sober, and my brain was shot to bits, you know, but, you know, being a member of this home group, being accountable, like turning up on time, not doing things my way, doing things the way that my group and the GSR and my sponsor expect me to do it, you know, I was able to finish my university course and pass. You know, I was handing in all the work on time. I'm not the sort of person who hands in anything. Not, you know, never mind on time. You ain't getting it, mate, you know? But, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, it's definitely a double whammy because, like, you know, if you do it properly, if you allow yourself to be sponsored, you know, and just stop arguing, if you've got step one, you will do it. You know, the people who say, my sponsor's barking orders at me. You know, if I'm hearing orders being barked, then I haven't got step one. If I'm, you know, if I've got step one, then it's like my sponsor is just basically showing me what I need to do in order to keep myself safe, in order to keep myself, you know, as part of my home group so that I can stay sober and enjoy my life. And, yeah, if there's anybody new, get yourself a sponsor, allow yourself to be sponsored. If you've got step one, you know, if you really believe that you're powerless over alcohol and your life is unmanageable, this is the best place you could possibly be. And if you just keep doing it, keep putting in the actions, you know, you can enjoy life sober and you can face challenges, whatever they are, you know, you can face those challenges sober and you can improve on anything that you know is basically you know causing you problems. So thank you very much for asking me to share. I'll leave it there. Cheers.